be praised. Amen.
Amen.
Arise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord.
is good. He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever, forever. The setting sun, his love endures forever. By the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever.
guys were so good. They knew what to do. So kids, we're going to come up and pray for you. And you're going to go off to Sunday school. So if you're fifth grade or below, come on up here. We're going to pray and bless you. That includes you, Rye. Come on up, Rye. Don't be shy. Okay, we'll remember it. All right, let's pray for these guys. Let's just extend our hands for them. Lord, bless our children. May they know you. May they trust you. May you be their God, not just mom and dad's God. Lord, may you use this time. Give them Sunday is our fifth Sunday. What happens on fifth Sundays? Does anybody know? Exercise class? No. We call it a celebration service. It's going to be a time where we have a lot more songs. There are going to be times of prayer, maybe sharing testimonies or what God's doing in your life, and it's followed by a potluck. So everybody bring a main dish, and if you are, your last name starts with A through L, bring bread or a dessert. If your last name starts M through Z, bring a side dish. You can check that in the bulletin if you forget, but we're all going to stick around afterwards and have food and fellowship together. So that'll be a fifth Sunday. Has anyone here ever participated in wrestling as a sport? Any wrestlers? Oh, we've got a wrestler there. I did wrestling when I was in elementary. My three older brothers taught me a lot about wrestling just besides being a wrestler. So I actually thought I might be a good wrestler because I was used to being like pummeled and taken out. So I got into wrestling in the YMCA, and I remember about halfway through the season, and I got in this one match, and the guy got me in a chokehold. Does anyone know what a chokehold is? It's a hold where it kind of cuts off the oxygen and knocks you out. Those are illegal, I guess, but the ref didn't catch it. I remember after being choked and losing the match, I was like, I went up to my dad, I said, I'm done. No more chokeholds for me. I'm good. And so I gave up, you know, and wrestling can be tough. Maybe as I said wrestling, you thought of WWF or what is it now called? WEW or WWE, whatever. They keep changing name. You thought maybe of those guys wearing the suits and that sort of thing. But wrestling is tough, and some may enjoy it. Others don't enjoy it. You might be one of those. Well, today we're going to be talking about wrestling with God. Wrestling with God. Did you ever think about the idea of being able to wrestle with God? Have you ever considered that? Wrestling with God. For many, it would be a fearful thing. You might say wrestling with God is maybe something someone that's disobedient does. They're wrestling with God. Well, today we're looking at Habakkuk 1, 12 through 17, and we see here a picture that of Habakkuk, God's prophet, actually wrestling with God, asking God some really hard questions. This portion of Scripture, by some commentators, they say this is the most profound and audacious wrestling with God by any prophet in Scripture. Habakkuk uses what is called the rhetorical accusatory tone. Have you ever asked a question, but it's not a question, it's kind of an attack at someone? Don't you know better? Have you ever said that to your kids? Don't you know better? You know, they would be like, oh, I guess I don't. So he's using that sort of questioning tone towards God, which may sound a little frightening and a little audacious. How could Habakkuk do that? Isn't that disrespectful? What is he doing? So he gets very bold. In the midst of this boldness, though, he uses phrases such as, my God, my Holy One. So he gets real personal that it's his God. This is not a far-off God, but a personal God with whom Habakkuk speaks and with whom Habakkuk wrestles. So as I've looked at this passage and dug deeper, you know, if I was to summarize it, I would summarize it this way. So Hannah, if you can bring that up. Be willing to faithfully wrestle with your God. Be willing to faithfully wrestle with your God. So I'd like to ask Holly to come up here. Holly's going to read this passage for us. So I got the mic on for you, Holly.
Thank you.
passage is leaving us hanging. We don't hear God's answer yet. So this week you might say, how can you preach on this, Eric? Because it's not giving us an answer. It's asking more questions than it's giving answers. Well, I think this passage does give us insights on what does it look like to faithfully wrestle with God. And if I was to unpack this idea, I see three things jumping out. First, do this by remembering who God is. Second, do this by asking God the hard questions. And third, do this by lifting up your complaints to God. So let's look at the first one. Be willing to faithfully wrestle with your God by remembering who he is. First off, Habakkuk calls out various names and attributes of God in this passage. If you were to start writing them down, you would find quite a few of those. Faithfully wrestling with God involves us pondering who God is. What are his attributes that don't line up with the experience we're having or reality as we are experiencing it? And sharing that with God. Throughout this passage, Habakkuk bases his wrestling and the questions upon who God is. He first recognizes God as eternal. All right? And you might see an interesting aspect here. You know, Holly read it from the NIV, and you might have noticed there was a different word there in verse 1. What did it say? Verse 1, are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? In the NIV it says, you shall not die. Other versions say, we shall not die. That's interesting, right? That's pretty different. That's not just a word. And as I was looking into it, there is some discrepancy on whether this is you shall not die because he's talking about God being the eternal one, or is it we shall not die? So there's a different interpretation that could come with either of those. The fact that he's lasting forever, and Habakkuk might be saying, we're not going to die at the hand of these horrible Babylonians. Or he might be saying, God, you're eternal and you don't die. So there is definitely discrepancy between those two. But he is saying God is eternal. He's recognizing he calls God by Yahweh. What is Yahweh associated with? The covenant, right? The God who is. He calls him Yahweh in this. All right? He also recognizes him as holy, my Holy One. He calls God the rock. Where do we hear that name for God? The rock. Who else uses the name for God as rock? Who? Peter? Yeah? David often, right? God is referred to by David as a rock. We can also think of the Exodus and the time in the wilderness, the rock that water poured out from. He recognizes God as creator. You see, in this passage, he's talking about men as fishes, and as crawling things, a lot of the words are the exact same vocabulary used in Genesis 1 for God as creator. So he's saying, God, you are the creator. And each one of these things he's addressing, you know, if you're the creator, why did you make us like this? Just to be crushed like bugs under someone's foot. One thing, though, is interesting. One name of God is absent that maybe should be here based on what Habakkuk is complaining about. What would you say? What name of God is absent? Or what attribute of God is absent? Discipliner, maybe? Justice? Do you see a God of justice? It was interesting. As I dug deeper and heard commentators talk, or read commentators talking about this, they say Habakkuk noticeably doesn't put God as a God of justice because he's having a big problem with what's happening. And he's going, I don't know if you're a God of justice. I'm struggling. I'm wrestling with this idea. I like how Tim Keller, you know, I like to quote Tim, but he summarized this passage, I thought, in an interesting way, using some of the grammar. He says this, imagine Habakkuk saying this, I wouldn't be upset if I thought you weren't holy, but I know you are. I wouldn't be upset if I thought I could walk away, but I know I can't. If I can't figure out life with you, how in the world am I going to figure out life without you on my own? Where else do I go? You have the words of eternal life. That's why I'm so upset. I'm upset not because I think, well, hey, I don't need this God, or I'm not going to believe in a God who does those things. Neither of those things at all. I'm upset because without you, I don't have any life. You know, so he's kind of quoting this in a way think about it that way. And I heard someone say that, you know, Peter, I believe, said that in the Gospels after that real hard word of Jesus about drinking his blood and eating his flesh, and a bunch of people left. Peter's like, we have nowhere else to go. You got the words of eternal life. I don't know about what you just said. That kind of freaked me out. But we don't have no one else to go to. We have no one else to go to. And Habakkuk's kind of saying the same thing here. He's like, God, I don't know what's going on. The experience and what you even replied to me doesn't seem to be jiving with who you say you are, who you've shown yourself to be, but I got nowhere else to go. Are you and I willing to wrestle with God? And the first step is recognizing who God is, remembering who God is. And if you don't know this, you won't know who God is. It's not just the God of your experience, it's the God of the Bible. Let's look at who he has said he is. And this will ground you in the midst of all the craziness of life. If you don't know who God is based on his word, based on just what you think he is, if you don't know what he says he is, that will be hard to go there. So that's a great plug for studying the word, knowing the God of Scripture and who he says he is. You know, because if we don't remember who God is rightly, we may conclude that we can't even wrestle with him through the hard things we are experiencing. Or we might either live in denial and that things are bad, or move towards becoming hard and cynical, or maybe even move towards leaving God and doing it on our own. So the second aspect of wrestling with God is, number two, be willing to faithfully wrestle with your God by asking the hard questions. There's three questions in this passage. Maybe you didn't notice it, but did you see three questions? There's three questions. There's one right at the beginning, a little bit after the beginning, one at the end. In verse 12, Habakkuk asks God, let me read that first one in Habakkuk 12. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? He's kind of saying, don't you live forever? Aren't you the Eternal One? Aren't you Yahweh, the Covenant God? Aren't you holy? And this one is actually said in like that rhetorical accusatory, like, aren't you these things? So he's kind of questioning God's nature based on what he's seeing. I don't know if you've ever done that, but it is good to direct questions to God. These are hard questions. The second question is, he says, God, in verse 13, turn there with me. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? So the first one, he's talking about the nature of God. The second question, he's saying, why do you not do anything when the wicked are allowed to swallow up the righteous? It seems as if you're just idly sitting by, you're silent. And then the last question in verse 17, he says, is he, and he's talking about the Babylonians, is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? When is this going to stop? You know, those last two questions are talking about God of justice, which we don't see him using that name in this passage. So what does it mean then? So they're hard questions directed toward God. I want to ask you, have you ever asked God a hard question? Well, Scripture says he can handle it. He can handle it. This is a form of prayer known as lament. We as Christians are often not very good at this concept of lament. You know, our emotions are like arrows. Has anyone here ever done archery? Yes, we got an archer here. So, Andy, if I fire a bow without an arrow in it, what happens? Yes. For some reason, the way a bow is made, the force transfers to the arrow when you fire an arrow out of it. If you don't have an arrow, the force goes into the bow and will cause damage. Our emotions are like arrows. God can handle your arrows, other people not so well. Where are you firing your arrows of your emotion? Are you firing them at other people? Or are you firing them at God? God can handle your strong emotions. He's not surprised by them. He actually knows you're having them. He can handle your hard questions. You know, in this Habakkuk, some of the words, when Habakkuk is crying out to God, the words it uses is screaming. Screaming out to God. And we may feel like, gosh, I can never yell at God. I can never scream at God. Well, this passage shows shows us how can you do that in a faithful, respectful way, but an honest way too. God can handle your honesty. He can handle your questions. I have a book. I was going to bring it down. I forgot to bring it. I don't know. One of you guys want to run out and get it out of my office? I don't know. There's some boxes on the left side by my desk, a bunch of boxes piled up. If you could grab one or two of those here, let me. Oh, Jadea's got a key. All right. We had a fella that published this book, and I was looking at it a year ago, and I was like, oh, this is so great. I'd like to get some more copies. And Kay Berry knows him. He's in Ashland. And I said, hey, could you just ask him if I could buy some copies? And he said, actually, we're getting rid of a bunch of copies you can have for free because we're going to put this thing online. And so he's like, how many do you want? I was like, I'll take 200. So I get like 7 boxes of this the next day. But this resource has like how to lament, how to forgive, different spiritual disciplines, and it just walks you through. It has you write down things that you need to lament, and then walks you step by step through that with scriptures for each of them. So I just wanted to put that at the back. You are welcome to take one. You're welcome to take one for a friend if you want. It's a great discipleship tool, but it's also a great tool for you if you've never learned to lament, to walk you through what does it look like to lament, how to do that maybe biblically, and that sort of thing. So I'm going to have those in the back when they bring those down. You can take those after the service. They're free, so don't worry about leaving any donations. So we've looked at remembering who God is, asking God hard questions. Lastly, number 3, be willing to faithfully wrestle with God by lifting up your complaint. Expanding on this idea of lament is lifting up your complaint to God. Were you able to find it? Okay. All right. Yeah, this is it. So, looks like this. We'll have that in the back. If you're getting one, write your name in it, because then, if you misplace it, we can get it back to you. I don't know if you regularly lift up your complaints to God. Jesus told us to cast our burdens on him, for his burden is light. I talked at the beginning of the service about 2 oxen. They both have a yoke, and they share the burden of the load. And imagine us as the weaker ox. Jesus is the stronger one, so much more stronger. He can handle your burdens. God can handle your complaints. He can handle the hard emotions you're going through. Did you know that God cares? He wants you to share your complaints with him. He wants you to share your grief. First of all, how does that help us if we are sharing our grief? It releases that emotional angst. You know, when we keep that in ourselves, we're like a pressure cooker walking around, or a volcano, and eventually we're going to blow up and it's going to hit someone else. We got to regularly go to God and lift up, remove that emotional pressure within us, lift it up to God. And second, it will draw you closer to God. As you know that God listens, he cares about what's bothering you, you will draw closer to him. If we learn to lift up our complaint, and then the next step is listening after that. Listen to God. He will often give you an answer to his complaint. I was talking to someone the other day, and they said, I often do that. I'll go down in the basement. I'll share my complaints and about things that are going on maybe in my life. And often then I'm led to repentance, right? And it's like God will point out something I need to deal with, but I'm willing to repent because I know he hears me. So how do answers come? Well, that can come as you are reading Scripture. God can remind you of Scripture you've read. He might, as Greg said, bring some memories. You're watching the birds and you're looking at the hummingbird feeder. He can do different ways. He can speak to us in different ways. So when you lift up a complaint to God, listen then. What is he saying back? So I wanted to elicit some responses from you. So if you're asleep, wake up. You can join in. What are some ways you have seen this happen in your own life when you've lifted up a complaint and God's answered? I'm just curious if you have any thoughts. How has God answered you, or what is a way he's done that recently? Yes, Judea. Thank you. think, wow, I'm really an angry person. But no, that's when I write in my journal. So, but yeah, maybe writing it out, writing a letter or writing out a prayer to God is one way. Experience in recent years for me, we'll get to Tom in a minute here. I went to this thing called Pastors of Excellence at Ashland, and they had us in that program write out a lament, and then we had to read it to our group. And it was a group where we had agreed to keep things confidential, and it was, so people were reading it, and they said use visceral language, so sometimes people were even swearing in their lament. It was interesting. But after the person prayed, we all surrounded them and put our hands on them and prayed for them with that lament, prayed for healing. It was extremely powerful. So, you know, you can pray laments just you and God. If you're in a group where you feel like people are going to be not, you know, they're going to be supportive and caring, sometimes it can be very powerful to pray a lament in front of others that you trust and have them pray for you then after you share that lament. So, Tom. Ever happens in your group, we will sometimes say, we'll say, are there any prayer requests? I often don't hear us, but I hope we can get to this place in circle groups where someone like could say, like, I'm really having trouble with God in this right now, or I'm struggling. You know, most of the time we're just like, pray for my big toe or my Edna's big toe. And I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for physical things, but if that's all we're praying for, and we're never willing to say, you know, I'm really struggling love my spouse. I'm really struggling, you know, like Katie's saying, I wish they would just get their act together. And I'm struggling with that, and people could pray for you. If we could be that honest, that would be awesome. It may sound that, you say, Eric, that's scary. No way, Jose. But what if we could get to that place where we're honest with each other, and it doesn't cause people to look down on us and whatever. They say, yeah, I struggle with that too. Let's pray about that. Maybe you're feeling, oh, yeah, Bill. likes to condemn. God likes to convict. Right? Or it's your own heart sometimes. So if you're doing that and you get totally beat up, don't listen to that. But God will say, well, what about this? He's like, let's deal with this, right? And that's probably your experience. He'll be insistent, but he'll just bring things to light. I have a question. I also want to listen to some responses. And some people may say, well, isn't a complainer a big whiner? You know, what is the difference between being a whiner and a complainer to God? What is the difference between whining and complaining? Mitch? Yeah. Yeah. So sometimes you might be fearful to complain because you think those two terms are synonymous. Like, if I complain, I'm a whiner. But you know what? If we complain to God more and listen, we probably complain a lot less to others. Think about that. And maybe you go to work or you go to family things, and it'd be say, I just want you to monitor this. How many comments of people at work or school or other places are complaints and whining? You'd be surprised. It's a lot. It's a lot. And if you kind of are in those environments, and rather than being a complainer, you're thankful, you're rejoicing. People are going to think you're kind of weird. Hopefully in a good way. You're different. Because you've been going to God with that stuff, it's kind of dealt with. And you can enter other situations with a gratitude and a joyfulness because God's the one you go to for that. Because he's the one that can make the difference in that many times. You know, I agree with Mitch. Just a whiner just complains but never listens. A good complaint to God is done by remembering who God is, asking him the hard questions, and sharing the hard feelings with God, and then waiting upon the Lord and listening for a response. So we looked at some hard things today. Maybe this is a topic or area that you've never thought about before. Maybe you've never heard this concept of lament, or you've never even tried that, or you've been afraid or hesitant to do that. I would encourage you, follow those three points. You know, remember who God is. Be willing to ask God the hard questions. And be willing to lift up your burdens and your complaints to God and listen back. If you're not sure quite how to do that, just look up lament psalms. Read a few lament psalms this week. Look at the structure of how the psalmist does that. That gives you some great advice, some great insight into how to faithfully wrestle with God. So I would encourage you in your circle groups, we're going to be heading to those here in a little bit, take some time to pray in this way, to begin to unpack what lament means for you on a daily basis. I'd also encourage you maybe take a copy of those books. Where did you guys put those? Okay, there are those boxes at the back. So, yeah, I hate to have them sitting in my office forever. Grab them. Be greedy. Take a couple. I thought these are great discipleship tools. So if you're working with someone else, just going through this together or with a small group. And what's kind of cool is the one side says the discipline. So there's like the discipline of praise, forgiveness, relinquishment, lament, listening, prayer, and self-examination. And on the back it has questions like, what do I do when life seems difficult? I need help with a decision. Pain of a loss that won't go away. I'm worried or afraid. I've been hurt or offended, or things are just going wrong. So I thought that was kind of cool. So you can look at the back if there's things going on and go, oh, well, this might help with that. So let's close in prayer. Let's remember to faithfully wrestle with your God because he cares. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We've seen Habakkuk that even though things are hard, he's able to go to you with these hard things, these I would encourage you, if you're a young adult, go to Circle Church. Pick a Circle Church to go to. So young adults, don't just kind of drift away. Go to a Circle Church today and join into that. All right, let's hold up our hands just as an act of receiving blessing. Go forth today being willing to faithfully wrestle with your God. Do this by remembering who God is and his attributes. Do this by asking the hard questions of God and waiting for his answer. Do this by lifting up your complaints to God with an honest heart, looking for comfort and help